Warning, the podcast you are about to hear is often based on true events and people. It chronicles the dialogue and actions of random, anonymous, obnoxious, self-entitled, unintelligent, self-centered idiots, attention whores, ignoramuses, dolts, clods, nimrods, douches, weirdos, drama queens, overly sensitive crybabies, and people who think they are better, more important, and more special than the rest of us. In other words, amateurs. It's Amateur Nation with Lou Santini. We call attention to and call out the amateurs, the people who are doing life wrong, the speed bumps of life, the people that are in your way every day, the unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled drama queen victim types who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, common sense, manners, or social skills, and are disturbing the flow of the pros. Hi, Mom.
Oh, hey, Lou.
Amateur Nation, it's not just a podcast, it's a movement. Welcome to episode 94, Going Pro, the new definition of woke. Before we get started, got to say hi to a few fans out there. I want to say hi to Corey Webb, who wrote in regards to episode 92, Amateurs You Left Your Virtue Signal On, who wrote, "Perfect episode, Lou. Emotional, thought-provoking, and still gave me a few hard laughs." And you know what? That's what I go for each episode, so it makes me happy that it reached you. Also want to say hi to Charlie Carlotta, who commented on last week's episode, Amateurs They Live, and saying, "Just wanted to let you know that I really enjoyed that episode. Sometimes I feel like I am the only one with any common sense in this town or has any critical thinking skills. I spend more time talking to my friends in Wisconsin about current events. It was very refreshing to hear like-minded thinking from you out there." So if you'd like to contact me, there's a bunch of ways to do that. On Instagram, I'm at LouSantini3. On Twitter, it's at LouSantini. You got my website with my email address, lou@lousantini.com. And of course, please subscribe to my YouTube page to see teasers and previews of episodes past, present, and future, plus some other clips on there that I think you'll find funny, and a few other extracurricular videos with hosting and comments that are related to this podcast and such. It's all on YouTube. All you got to do is subscribe. Now, if you like the podcast, you're going to love my book. It's still 45% off download price on Amazon. It's called Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills. It's under $5, and I think it's a hell of a bargain. I think you will too. Before we get started with the three topics, I have to share this story with you. I recently had my very first pizza delivered contact-free, except there's one hitch. I never ordered a pizza. Leaving my house, opened the front door, there it was on the ground. So whoever ordered that pizza never got it. A few things about that. Now, if the contact-free delivery person even thought they had delivered to the correct address, no one even notified me with even a knock on my door. No joke. It's all part of the no-contact thing because of apparently COVID doors. And I was home for the better part of 3 hours prior to the discovery of my cold floor stranger pizza. There was also a salad, which was in a clear box. I'm sure they didn't touch it. Or the pizza that was outside my door near dirt for maybe 3 hours. Just think, if they would have had actual contact with me, I could have told the delivery person that they had the wrong place and the pizza could have gotten to the people that paid for it. Stay safe out there. Do you really think they're not touching anything when you order any food anywhere? Carvana's offering contactless car delivery? What, because you're wearing a glove? And what has that glove touched? It's asinine. Germs are going to happen. You need immunity. You're not licking the pizza box that the person just touched with their bare hand that they had coughed all over. No sane person does that. I talked about last week how my gym was taking measures, you know, that you have to wear the mask and get your temperature checked at the front desk, but once you're in the gym, you can take the mask off and work out. Well, thanks, Emperor Newsom. You did it again. You were bored. You hadn't been in the news for a while, so now they pulled back restrictions, and now they're saying you have to wear your mask in the gym all the time. I, of course, will not do that. My doctor has highly recommended that I don't do anything stupid. So I'm at the gym the other day. I wear my mask, get my temperature taken at the front desk. And of course, once I'm in the gym, I pull it down, take it off, stuff it in my pocket. I would say my gym is two stories. You have a lot of cardio stuff and machines on the lower level, free weights and more machines at the top level, plus an aerobics room and stretching areas, things like that. And I would easily venture that, and they're only allowing the gym to be, I think, at 50%. So sometimes, depending on when you go, you might have to wait to go in for someone to come out before you can actually go in. I had to wait for 5 minutes or so. I went inside. I would venture to say easily 50% of the people in the lower level were not wearing masks, and anywhere from 50 to 75% of the people in the upper level were not wearing masks. Why? Because it's stupid. It makes no sense, especially when you're working out. If you're that afraid of germs, you shouldn't even be at the gym anyway, pre or during pandemic, right? Come on, you know I'm right. If you're in the high-risk group, a gym should be the last place you're going. Work out at home, take a walk outside, you can work out outside. There's a million other things to do than touching germy equipment. And I will say my gym is cleaner than normal, but it's a trade-off because they had 3 water fountains, but now we're all segregated to 1 water fountain. Yeah, let's concentrate all those germs. On top of that, no joke, and I realize these are isolated incidences, but they make sense that they would happen, which means they probably happen a lot more often. I'm watching people that are wearing the masks in the gym, but of course, due to the hard inhaling and exhaling that is required lifting heavy weights, during the actual motion of the workout, they pull the mask down. With what? Oh, their bare hand. That did what? Just touch the germy equipment. Got it? It's not hard to connect the dots. Their bare hands touch the germy equipment, which is going to happen. I mean, it's a gym. Then they want to be able to breathe so they don't hyperventilate, which makes sense. So then they reach up and touch their mask. Oh, yeah, but Lou, they're touching it on the outside. Stop. Don't shit on my cupcake and call it frosting. You know that those germs are going everywhere. They're pulling their mask down so they can work out. Then they have just touched the bar, whatever they're grabbing, and then pull the mask back on again. So they're touching their face probably more than they normally would have anyway. And some of these masks, I mean, I still have my good mask from when I got my yearly physical, the ones that are officially, you know, medical grade. They're lighter weights and you can stuff them in your pocket. These people are wearing their bandanas and pulling their, making makeshift masks out of shirts and pantyhose and who knows what. It's dumb. You know it's dumb. Amateurs, you can sit there and tell, yeah, but it's better. No, it's actually making it worse. You are a sucker. If you wear a mask, you are, unless you're in the medical field and or you're in a high risk group. But if you're in a medical field, yeah, not only are you dealing with COVID patients, you're dealing with other people who have germs. If I was a doctor, I'd have a hard time not wearing a mask anytime. In the course of a day, you're seeing a variety of patients with a variety of illnesses and viruses and ailments and exposed wounds, those kind of things. Yeah, that makes sense. If you're a firefighter, a paramedic, that makes sense. A police officer tending to an accident victim, of course that makes sense. But if you're going to go to the gym and tell me, well, you can wear it here, but not here, and don't touch this, and pull your mask, stop. It makes no sense. I watched a guy wearing his mask work out and then pull his mask down to bite his nails. Now, I realize, regardless of the mask situation, that's just a gross thing to do anyway. You're touching gym equipment, then you're biting your nails. Like, well, you got 12 minutes to live, pal. But that's my point. You don't realize how often we all touch things throughout the course of a day. So if you're going to tell me that your pizza is delivered and no one's touched it, from the dough to the toppings that were depending where you get your pizza, whether they were homegrown, organic, or if they're processed like a Domino's or a Papa John's or something. So from the inception of that pepperoni or the mozzarella, it's never been in contact with human skin ever. Don't bullshit me. Yes. Hear the sirens in the background? Someone needs a police officer. But I digress. So your dough hasn't been touched by human skin. Your toppings haven't been touched by human skin. The person putting the pizza in the oven, taking it out, putting it back in the box. Handing it off to the driver. The driver's touching the car door. Hopefully he or she is wearing gloves. Hopefully he or she is wearing their mask in the car. You assume they are, but they could be just like me, driving with it down the way you should be driving. You should never be wearing a mask alone in the car. I don't think you should be wearing a mask at all while driving. I think it messes with your peripheral vision, and it gives you a false sense of security. So then they get out of the car, touching the car again, and I know I'm missing a bunch of steps here. Touch the box, and then they don't knock on your door, and then they just leave it at your doorstep, and hopefully send you a text to let you know your pizza was there. And the tip is all via their phone, and it's all technology and automated and everything. It's a great way to get food, isn't it? Just stop telling me that it's contact-free. It doesn't exist. The only place real sterile environments exists are surgery rooms. Where else? Maybe a lab. And we know it ain't the lab in China handling the coronavirus. These measures get more insulting every day. Here's what's happening in Amateur Nation. Topic number one. We gotta stop with the share if you agree, or worse, who has the balls to share this? Or even worse yet, if you don't share this, then you are on the side of whatever negative thing I'm railing against. Look, I post my opinions and original thoughts and takes on certain things on social media, but I don't muscle dick my way in. I allow non-abusive, negative replies without deleting or lashing back with name-calling or threatening to censor. And if someone does attack me threateningly, it's called block, unfriend, mute. The same way he or she reading something I wrote or you wrote and don't like it, they could do the same. When I worked on the radio, and Howard Stern was the most controversial figure of all time on the radio, I never understood why everyone got upset. It's like, well, you could not listen to that. You can change the station. You could turn it down, turn it off, do something else. This isn't like you're a Clockwork Orange where you're having your eyes peeled back and you're in this sights and sounds pumped into your brain while you're strapped down to a chair. Do you have any free will? Do you have any balls? Amateurs need to stop bullying or threatening or shaming people into agreeing with them. People who are on your side, amateurs, that believe you or agree with what you're saying, will share your message anyway. Or you know what? Maybe they won't. Doesn't mean they don't agree with you. Maybe they don't care enough. Maybe they're busy. Maybe their internet went down. Maybe they got better things to do. And since when did your word become gospel? Or anyone's, mine included. But everyone needs, amateurs need reassurance 24/7. So words that the amateurs don't like are now dangerous. But not Antifa, not rioters, not looters, not people spray painting graffiti on public and private property, not people assaulting strangers minding their own business. It's those damn words spreading hate and violence. Fucking Aunt Jemima. Damn it, Gone with the Wind. Look what you did. Topic number two. Woke equals joke. There's a slogan I can get behind. Short, succinct, and true. Never has a word literally meant the opposite of that which it was intended. For people calling themselves woke, you do realize the rest of the world makes fun of you, right? Woke people do not come across as enlightened or peaceful or understanding. Most, not all, but most woke people come across as self-righteous, delicate, easily butthurt, emotional, and prone to ignoring facts, science, and history. And let's not forget, easily influenced and are mainly followers, not leaders, and certainly not doers. You're the opposite of woke. You're asleep to facts, science, logic, reason, history, and most of all, my favorite, common sense. Your knee-jerk reactions are based on memes, gifs, and hashtags rather than voicing your own original thoughts and ideas and the actions to back them up. You yell a lot, you might march, you post like crazy, which is literally the least you could do without actually doing any real labor or action based on change. And you're going by pure emotion and a knee-jerk reaction with no historical or factual evidence to back anything up that you say. And let's not forget the least woke thing of all, broadcasting and constantly reminding others of how woke you are. It's all surface, no substance. You do realize there's no reward or actual praise in being labeled as woke, right? You don't get a tax break or a free Sunday at McDonald's. Oh, it's not about praise and getting something? Then why tell everyone about your newly transformed thought process and way of life? And why the need to be awakened? What was your backwards thinking like before? Oh, what, you were bad then, but you're good and woke now? Shouldn't it be you that apologizes for history that we all have no control over? Oh, you have. Okay, so why is that my issue now? Because you discovered you've been an amateur dick your whole life? Good luck with that. Woke or not, anyone's self-realization, self-help, or change of heart should be something that is private, treasured, and held sacred. Sure, it's admirable to tell your story and more importantly, lead by example, but screaming at people and bullying them into being just like you, take a guess, it's absolutely amateur, stupid, plus obnoxious times rude divided by entitled plus inconsiderate. You got all five, you woke amateurs. Topic number three. I'm not easily offended. I've said this many times. Here's when I am offended. When you question my character, loyalty, and or work ethic. You can make fun of me for my looks, my skill, comedy, quirks, appearance, habits both good and bad, whatever. But question my character, loyalty, and or work ethic, we're gonna have a problem. Within the last 4 months, no joke, I've been repeatedly told daily, not by people who actually know me, but by the media, repeatedly every day that I am infectious, non-essential, and racist. I'm none of those things. I'm healthy. I work my fucking ass off. And the only people I hate are virtue signalers and people who accuse me of shit without even knowing me. And you know what? Even them I don't hate. However, I will and do mock them because those amateurs have their own shit they're projecting on me. So get in line to kiss my ass, amateurs. I'm officially getting sick and tired of hearing about how much I hate everybody and how I have to end my hate. Oh, sorry, erase my hate. And there's a big difference there, isn't there? Ending something, erasing sounds like that never happened, which I think is reckless. By the way, I don't know if you can hear this. There's been a police helicopter flying above my residence here for quite a long time here. So I can't put this off. I have too many things to do today. So I apologize if you're hearing the helicopter noise in the background. But it sounds like someone needs the cops. Sounds like something's going down, doesn't it? Anyway, let's keep going. It's bad enough I had to look at myself as some disease-ridden germ factory who killed people just by being around them. Then I got to be told that I'm not essential. Now I have to be told that I'm hateful. No, fuck you, and fuck you. And no, that isn't hate speech. That's justified speech. There's no hate behind it. I'm just standing up for myself, without violence or destroying someone else's home or business. If words hurt you, you died a long time ago. Of course, why am I explaining this to people who think Aunt Jemima and Gone with the Wind and statues are problems. So yeah, I'm a little testy, a little defiant, a little outspoken. Be told that you're a bad person physically and in your career and as a person, repeatedly, daily, by the nameless, faceless, biased media and even unenlightened friends in social media in the span of 4 months and see how you react. You know where you can stick your clockwork orange type media messages, by the way. Funny how all the media outlets and big businesses are on the side of anarchy, riots, hashtags, and any other woke messages. Listen carefully. Here's the reason why. Because they count on the fact that most, not all, but certainly most young woke people are A, easily influenced, B, easily offended, C, lazy, D, won't do any digging for the truth if it's not already on social media, E, want to be included with the righteous, despite the fact that it's all just on the surface, but they'll still take it, and F, most importantly, they spend money on and at those businesses. Amazon, for example. Why would those networks, social media outlets, and big businesses want to piss off the very uninformed, lazy amateurs that keep them shoveling money in their direction? Because they need you, amateurs, but they'll exploit you to do it. And as woke as you are, you'd think you'd see that and be outraged by it. You really want to be woke, amateurs? And I mean this sincerely. Really look and see who the people, organizations, and politicians are that have been doing nothing of real, tangible value for you over the last 20 to 40 years. I'm not saying all, but many. Really look and see who has really fueled the flames of violence. It wasn't the non-woke people setting things on fire and breaking shit, ruining your property values, eliminating small businesses, and destroying livelihoods. Funny how Amazon headquarters is running fine. The media outlets that egg you on like some wimp hiding behind a bully, whispering in your ear every day, be mad, be afraid. Major corporations, major big businesses and networks, TV networks, just keep pumping that message out about how horrible everything is because they have to do those things so you don't boycott them. It doesn't mean they don't believe in the sentiment. Of course not. I do. But when you see the media outlets or major corporations pandering to you over and over again, you need to ask yourself, what's their end game? Why did a cell phone company feel the need to remind me that they're with the good guys? Why does a TV network, whose job it is to solely entertain and not influence, feel the need to placate me with what I already assumed? I mean, is anyone watching any one of the channels on the Discovery Network and asking themselves, yeah, but do they agree that all Black Lives Matter? Do they believe in equality? They do? All right then, good. Nah, it's just easier to copy and paste and scream about the system. I'll just have a temper tantrum until I get what I want. Again, I defer to Chaz Palminteri's mob boss character speaking to a 7-year-old Calogero in the movie A Bronx Tale when the little boy complains about Mickey Mantle crying after losing the World Series, and Chaz Palminteri's character says, "The fuck you care about Mickey Mantle for? You think he gives a shit about you? Does he put food on your table?" That's all those businesses and networks that are sucking up to you. They will never pay your bills. They do not care about you. They care about their bottom line. Wake up. You want to be woke? Wake up to that. Tell you what, when you woke amateurs get a personal call from corporate at Discovery Networks asking, "How you doing over there?" then they can take it out and measure it. In the meantime, just show your stupid honey boo-boo tripe and lock it up. Time now for 60 seconds. Start the timer. I mentioned that last Sunday was not only Father's Day, but also National Selfie Day, or as I like to call it, Sunday, because we just don't take enough time to take selfies. Speaking of which, if you're over, say, age 25, you know what? I'll give you age 30, and you're a woman or a man for that matter, taking selfies with your tongue out, you're an amateur. Grow up. Have some self-confidence and smile like a normal person. We got it. You're wacky. And no, it's not a rule. I'm a fucking podcast host and comedian. What are we doing? Thank God they're getting rid of Aunt Jemima. I got tired of feeling uncomfortable and anxious sitting next to my pancakes. Let's go to three pro things. Three things that are done right. Number one, I'd like to talk about standards. My mom, best friend, and conciliary at times, mentioned to me in a conversation, "You know why you feel that way? Because you have standards." And I started thinking about that. Now, admittedly, I had a rough quarantine period. I live alone. I'm single. I have no pets. I know people are going, yeah, I wonder why. I was dating just fine before the shutdown hoax. I lost contact with some friends, some temporarily, some permanently. I lost a few followers along the way because they may not have liked my messages here and in my promos for this show. And, you know, that's totally fine. I do respect that. Just don't attack my work ethic, my character, and my loyalty. And we can part friends or at least not be at each other's throats. You know, the adult way, the pro way. But I also did the same to a few friends, deleting, blocking, muting, unfriending, not because they didn't agree with me, but because I saw how they responded to thoughts and to those who didn't agree with their opinions, memes, gifs, and knee-jerk reactions to the pandemic, the shutdowns, the quarantine procedures, the facts, the protests, the riots. And why did I do that? Because of standards. And I respect people who have them, even if they don't line up with me. Again, it's how you react to those who don't have the same standards as you that determines whether or not we can be friends or work together or even coexist in the same room or planet. Conversely, I have a few friends that I know are polar opposites of the way I think and the common sense and logic that is this show. And you know what? We either don't talk about it or we talk about it calmly, without name calling, without belittling, without violence, because of standards. Standards, for me, are my personal laws and moral code. I have a standard as to what I'll tolerate from a friend, a coworker, a boss, a fan, a date, a girlfriend. I have standards on how someone talks to me, treats me, cares for me. What I expect at a restaurant in accordance to with what I'm paying for. Same goes for big purchases, like cars, for example. In my opinion, I feel many amateurs confuse standards with the way it should be. Yes, the way it should be is everyone is treated equally and protected by the same rights regardless of race, religion, sex, sexual orientation, color, or creed. Common sense. But the amateur way of dealing with situations where there is a lack of justice, equality, racism, or anything that is simply unjust, their way is to, you know what, burn it to the ground and start over. That's not standards. That's a temper tantrum. That's, but I want it like this, now, everywhere, even in places where I'm not, that don't affect me. Yes, of course, the way it should be is everyone should have the opportunity, not given, but have the opportunity to get a good education, proper medical care, a home loan, a job opportunity based on your merit, equality, a fair shake. But going back to my example about education and proper medical care. The reality is both are expensive. They're kind of hard to get, even if you got some bucks. I get it. It's frustrating. You're listening to an admitted control freak. I like to be in charge. I like things to be organized. I love common sense and logic because it simplifies my life. I like people to behave better in public than they do at home. I like manners and good social skills. The reality is, that's the way it should be, but I came across this article from a website called The Dream Catch. Yes, I know the name is a little new agey for me, but the article was entitled The Importance of Having Standards for Your Life. And it starts with a quote from a famous fashion mogul, Coco Chanel. Keep your heels, head, and standards high. Here is some of the information from the article, and I'm reading it directly. There have been many times in my life when I have been accused of having high standards. This was especially true during my younger years when I had a pronounced rebellious streak. But after maturity set in, I gained an objective perspective on how to channel those standards towards creating positive change. Like a double-edged sword, when used properly, it can prove to be a powerful tool for success. The human mind is a malleable piece of wonder that will abide to whatever we command it to do. Our standards are essentially benchmarks that let our minds know what is acceptable and what is not acceptable, therefore guiding our actions and the level of work we put into them. The higher the standards, the more we are willing to do to stretch ourselves to get there, and vice versa. Yet most people resist having standards because they equate it with having an oversized ego, and that certainly is the case in many circumstances. Many individuals use their standards to paint a picture of success when really deep down inside, they are afraid of exposing their vulnerabilities. I'm certain that you have encountered these people many times in your everyday life. Remember the unhappy restaurant patron who excessively reprimands a poor waiter because his steak wasn't cooked the way he likes it? Or the woman who only dates men based on how much they have in their bank accounts and then she complains about not being able to find true love? This goes back, by the way, to my comparison of standards versus the way it should be or the way I want it. Back to the article. Another caveat to bear in mind is that standards can cause us to become rigid, which can lead to a loss of opportunities to grow. It's similar to the juvenile tendency I've seen in little kids who stomp in fury, unwilling to budge from getting the specific things that they want. We need to become conscious of this tendency and shift it by becoming more flexible. I'm going to mention this part here because I copied it and bold-faced it because I think it's gold. The article says, you know you've found the right balance when your standards are sturdy enough to withstand being swayed by the transient and fickle opinions of others, and when you can conduct yourself in an honorable and consistent manner while maintaining a sense of humility. I love the fact that they mentioned consistent manner. I thought about the mentors in my life, my mom, my dad, and two of my bosses from radio. And the one thing I can always say is they're consistent in their behavior. I don't mean they're the same exact way and behavior every day. I'm saying they're consistent in how they handle success and setbacks. They're consistent in how they handle unruly people or severe stresses in their personal or business lives. I respect that. I try to be more like that. I have a lot of work to do, but it is my goal because I have standards. All right, so back to the article. The article says there are many valid reasons why we should set high standards. Here are the main ones. Number one, your life will feel more authentic. When we take the time to create standards that are grounded in our knowledge of what's most important to us, we increase our chances of creating a life that feels authentic to us. Your career, relationships, and personal prosperity will be a reflection on what you believe to be true about yourself and the rest of the world. Number two, others will respect you more. When you have standards, people are less likely to overstep your boundaries and mistreat you. We teach people how to treat us, and when we communicate our standards to others, they'll know where you draw the line and will act accordingly. Individuals who command this sort of respect from others are admired and treated with dignity. Number three, you're more likely to reach your full potential. When we set high standards, we inevitably demand more of ourselves. Number four, decision-making becomes easier. When we have our preferences at the forefront of our minds, decision-making will become a smooth and simplified process. Number five, you'll have a stronger identity. Your standards form the bedrock of your identity. They're essentially your rule book for living. It is your signature brand that is representative of the essence of who you are in both your career and personal life. It represents your quirks and characteristics that make you the amazing person you are. Our standards are like the protective gear that straps us in as we make our way up to the top. It gives us the support and structure that we need to stay in the game until we finally succeed. Great article. Number two. Here comes another movie pick. I don't know how this one got by me. Again, I kind of like to turn my brain off after all the crap that's going on in the world here. An action movie called American Assassin. I discovered this gem of an action movie on Netflix the other day. It stars Dylan O'Brien and one of my all-time favorites, Michael Keaton, as well as Taylor Kitsch and Sanaa Lathan. Here's a quick synopsis. When Cold War veteran Stan Hurley takes CIA Black Ops recruit Mitch Rapp under his wing, they receive an assignment to investigate a wave of random attacks on both military and civilian targets. After discovering a pattern of violence, Hurley and Rapp join forces with a lethal Turkish agent to stop a mysterious operative who wants to start a global war. You know what I liked about this movie, besides the action sequences, is that it didn't overdo it. It didn't try to remind you, like in the Bourne Identity movies, that, look, stuff's happening, it's chaos. We know that. It had just enough story to keep you rooting for Dylan O'Brien's character. Michael Keaton was great, as always. And it still had time for a few twists and turns that I did not see coming. Popcorn it up and check it out when you're ready for some action. Number three. From the website Higher Perspectives, this article entitled, Stop Explaining Yourself and Telling People Everything. Boy, you want to talk about an article that was made for these times. And what I like about this article, it applies to both the virtue signalers and the people, the pros like us, my listeners, who are sick of hearing about everyone's good deeds and kind hearts and how much they care about everybody. And people, look, I know how that sounds on the surface. Well, what's wrong with caring about people? Geez, you're such a jerk. No. There's nothing wrong with caring about people. It's the constant broadcasting about it, letting everyone know. I've talked about this dozens of times on this podcast and in my book. Why do we feel the need now, amateurs that is, to not only broadcast what we're doing, what we're eating, what we're wearing, where we're going, but how we're feeling with no context? And we're doing it with an emoji. Why? I want likes. I want attention. I want people to check in on me. When you could just make a phone call and reach out and say, I need someone to talk to. Or, look what I just did. Yeah, we got it. The virtue signaling. So this article applies to both amateurs and pros. It's a great article. Here we go. The article says, why is it that people feel as though they have to explain themselves? Is it the way we're brought up? Is it society's expectations? Why can't we just live our lives without having to explain why we do what we do? I mean, whose business is it what we do, and why? Guess what? If you're not hurting anyone or doing anything illegal, it's absolutely nobody else's business. And you most certainly don't owe anyone an explanation for these six things. Here they are. Number one, your living situation. The way you live your life in your own home is nobody's business but yours. It's nobody else's business if you live alone, with roommates, with a partner, or with your ex. If you're happy with it, do it. Number two, your physical appearance. We all go through physical changes during the course of our lives. We gain weight, lose weight, dye our hair, grow a beard. Any change in the way you choose to look doesn't require an explanation. Your grandma will just have to get over the fact that you have purple hair. Number three, your religious and/or political views. I can't tell you how many times I have read really nasty responses to a political or religious post on Facebook. Everyone has their own personal views of religion and politics, and those views should be respected, and no explanation should be necessary. Number four, not having children. You should never have to explain why you don't have children to anyone. Maybe you have a medical condition, or maybe having children just isn't right for you. Whatever the reason, it's nobody else's business. Number five, being single. The same goes for being single. Nobody should question you or make you feel less than because you don't have a partner. It's your choice. You don't have to explain it. And number six, your life priorities. You want to put off going to college for a year in order to backpack through Peru. You want to open your own restaurant rather than work in someone else's. Your career is more important to you right now than getting married and having children. Whatever the priorities are in your life, they are yours. And you don't have to live your life to impress anyone else or give an explanation for it. Said it before, I'll say it again. It's not just a podcast, it's a movement. go to Amazon to download my book, Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills, or send your comments to lou@lousantini.com, and you can go to lousantini.com to find all my social media connections, and you can email me from there too. Spread the gospel about the last bastion of common sense that is this podcast. It's on 14 platforms. Remember, amateurs, we see you. You're not at home. Don't do life wrong. Go pro. Don't be an amateur. For Amateur Nation, I'm Lou Santini, and this has been a Big Major production.
Bye, Lou. Gonna miss you.